Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't like to be too high. So strange. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Father, that we lie with stones in the body of Christ. And Jesus is the head of the corner. Therefore, Father, we can build straight up to you and to one another. Father, I thank you for the angels that encamp round about us, the ministers of the heirs of salvation to the saved and the unsaved. Thank you, Father, for the engrafted word, for the implanted word which is able to save our souls. Lord, I am so grateful for the price that was paid for our redemption. The blood of Jesus. Your word says the life is in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We're so grateful, Father, that that life that is in you and that was manifested in the flesh in Jesus, because we have trusted in your operation, that life is now resident within us. Thank you, Lord, that you did not leave us to be raised again by the flesh, but you left us a parent in the Holy Spirit, that we should be raised in the likeness of our Redeemer and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for the good ground of our born-again spirit, because now the Holy Spirit has something to work with, and the people of God say,
amen.
Amen and amen. I'd like you to go with me to the second book of Peter. Chapter 2. And the word of God says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words, actually with fabricated, made up words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation lumbereth not. I know for a fact that this is already being fulfilled. You only have to turn on the TV to see that they're actually making merchandise of the church. And not only of the church, of the unbeliever. The word, it's interesting that the word merchandise come from a word that means to be in a journey, to have, you know, to make traffic, to make trade, to exchange. Another word that we know very well that comes from that word is the word emporium, which means it's a house of merchandise. It's a house of exchange. Isn't that sad, you know, that it says that in these last days, that is what's going to happen in the body of Christ. I don't know about you, but from time to time I receive a little envelope with some seed and a very motivational chat for giving. Sometimes I receive a little piece of cloth. Sometimes I receive, you know, all kinds of compelling things. Sometimes I receive a little picture of some kid somewhere in Africa so that it will somehow motivate me for me to give to such and such a ministry. You know, one thing that I learned was this, and I'm going to abound a little bit on that, is not to be manipulated by anybody.
Amen.
You know, in all the time that I've been here in this church, never, as a matter of fact, it's been 24 years this past month that I've been in this church. And not a single time I was compelled by my pastor to give anything. Other people did, because we were in the mood for whatever was going on. Matter of fact, you know, one preacher came over here and he was speaking about finances and all this stuff. And I bought all his books and see whatever he brought, you know, tapes and everything, and his blisters. I mean, I bought everything because they make a good deal. And to this day, I haven't opened a single one of those blisters. Evidently, I wasn't motivated not only to spend my money, but not to read them. So what it's saying here, that these people go from one place to the others, and they use us for the gain. You know something, I'm not going to mention any names. No, you know, we don't need to do that. But I pray that whatever these people are doing, they're doing it because the Lord told them. Because, you know, we all have to be accountable for what we do. No, I learned something very quick, is that the day that I'm going to stand before the Lord is going to be me, him alone. And some of you know the ministry that I do. I go around speaking over people's lives and giving tapes. I've given thousands and thousands of tapes. It's going to be a very interesting picture. Because I'm going to be before the Lord with all these tapes. And say, Victor, are you ready to start listening? Because I'm going to be judged by every word that came out of my mouth. But I can say this one thing. Not a single time have I used what the Lord has trusted me with to manipulate anybody. Not in the back of my mind. I can say that. And I say that, may the grace of God help me for the rest of my life to walk the same way. Because we all need it. Can I hear an amen? Now, let's see what the Word of God has to say. Probably you heard this thing that I'm going to say today, but you never heard it with an accent like this. Amen. So I'm going to climb my side of the mountains, like Kenneth Hagin used to say. Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 55. Who is here for the first time? This is the first time you listen to me speaking. You're going to be blessed. Amen. You're being blessed, I should say. Amen. Because you did not come to hear me, you came to hear the Lord. Yep. Glory. Isaiah 55. And look at verse 1. It says, hope. Actually, it's the word wait. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money. It says here, he that had no money. Come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You know, this speaks about spiritual things. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes. Amen. But it's go beyond that. Once you become spiritual, the whole aspect changes, you know, of the outcome. Mm-hmm. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, in abundance. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but as you keep reading, you begin to understand things. You know, where is the place you're going to go and buy without money? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm Puerto Rican, but I'm not stupid. I like free. As much as you. Amen. And if you show me the place where I can go and buy without money, I'll be there with you.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, people make lines for days for takes to buy some dumb, stupid ticket to go to some concert.
Yeah.
But they don't sleep outside the church to hear a good message, what the Lord has prepared for them. Amen. People don't do that. And yet, I like to know how can I do that? And the Lord begins to unfold here, and He begins to say, you know something? What, you cannot even begin to think this is possible, because your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord.
Right.
He says the difference is as the heavens from there, is that how different it is?
Mm-hmm.
He says, but you know how this can happen? This happens as my word goes into your heart, and you bring it forth before me, and you cause it to come down again. As I look into your heart, that this is what you want, I'm able to rain down again upon your heart and give you an increase. Amen. And then at the very end he says that, you know, when that happens, God is going to begin to be glorified. Why? Because you're going to go out with joy. You're going to be led forth with peace. He said, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And he begins to tell you what's going to happen in your life.
Amen.
But you know, for that to happen, something has to happen to me and to you. Because there was one day that you and I was as carnal can be, and we couldn't receive anything from the Lord, like these people in the Old Testament could not receive anything from the Lord. But once we became spiritual, amen, once we became spiritual, when something happened to us, the whole outcome of our life changed completely. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, to do this, I was talking to Pastor the other day, the Lord has to kill us. There was no ways around it. You know, but in His wisdom, He found a way to kill us and at the same way preserve our life eternal.
Yes. Yes.
And He did that in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And not only us. When He did that for the whole world, for the whole enchilada.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody. So that anyone that would call upon His name would inherit something in Him, will receive eternal life.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, Let's go over here to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Look what it says here. Verse 26, he says, "For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been put on what? Christ. As a matter of fact, we have put some knowledge of Christ. Amen. We didn't put all the knowledge of Christ. We put some knowledge that He is our Savior. Amen. That He is our Redeemer. That He came to be the ransom for all of us, for the whole world. Amen. There is neither Jew, nor Greek, nor Puerto Rican, nor Russian, nor Japanese. Amen. You name it. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus."
Yes.
Amen. He says, "And if you be Christ," I like that part, "that if you be Christ," there's some consequences. Amen. There's some results. There's an outcome. "If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise."
Amen.
See, I like that.
Amen.
"If ye be Christ," well, I am Christ. And he's telling me here that I'm an heir of something. What? Of those promises that he made to Abraham. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Oh, glory be to God. You know,
yeah.
Let's speak a little bit about this. I wasn't going to go into the law and judgment. But you know something? The law was given, and you know this? Why? Because of transgression. The law came to challenge spiritual death, because there reigned from Adam to Moses, because nobody knew, you know, what was going on. If there's not a law that says you shall not go through the red light, there's not a cop that can come and give you a ticket, because there's no such a law. But once the law comes and you go through the red light, baby, you're going to have another attack that's going to cost you some money.
Yeah.
Amen. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, what? That the law is good, is holy, and the law is spiritual. And Paul said, "But I am carnal, soul under sin." You know how that little problem was solved? When we die in Christ and we were resurrected together with Him and seated in heavenly places, we received it immediately. We were placed at the right hand of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, glory be to God forevermore, the wisdom of God and the love of God. Amen? That's what happened to us. Amen? Now, when you read over there, I believe in the book of 1 Peter, it says that we were not bought with corruptible things like silver and gold, such a thing, but with the incorruptible seed of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And we know that the Word of God, Jesus came out of His mouth in John chapter 14. "The word that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life." That means that we were born out of spiritual matter. God is spirit, and He's the Father of spirits.
Yep.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Glory.
Amen. So that makes me, and that makes you what? It makes you spiritual.
Yes.
Can I hear? Amen. It makes you spiritual. You know, we have this tendency of believing that people that are spiritual are the only ones that move in the gifts of the Spirit. And we have equated that. That people that are spiritual are the ones that really move in these things. Let me show you through the Word of God, and this is important to establish this point, that you are spiritual.
Yeah. Amen.
So that you don't be deceived for those that try to make merchandise out of you. Now, in the book of Romans, let's go over there for a second. We're going to be jumping here a little bit in the Bible. In verse 5, chapter 7, it says, "For when we were in the flesh," it said, there was a time we were in the flesh. Now, let's establish this. We have flesh. Amen. You came here with your flesh.
Yeah.
So we need to distinguish that. There are times here in the Bible speak about being in the flesh, meaning not walking after the passions or the emotions or what flesh demands of us.
Right.
Amen. Praise be to God. "For when we were in the flesh, the emotions, the passions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." But you know, we die together with Christ. We were resurrected together with Him. What happened to the body of death? It was, as the scripture says right here, destroy. Well, didn't destroy me literally. Watch it. What it did was put it in a place where it can no longer have the ability to subdue me in what He wants.
Amen.
If I walk according to the nature that the Lord has placed me. Look at this. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. I get so excited about these things. Look at verse 8. It says, So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen? You read over there in the book of Hebrews 11:6 that it says, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Puerto Rican translation. For without faith, it is no way, Jose. Amen. Maybe it gets to you this way. What? To trust God in what He says. To trust Him.
Yep.
Amen. Even Jesus said, I always do the things that please the Father. You know what that tells me? He walked 24/7 by faith.
Yeah. True.
Now look at this. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of us. Now look at this. What qualifies me and you to be in the Spirit? He says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It should be that what? That the Spirit of God dwells in you. What is the Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit. And here they have to divide things because, you know, to understand spiritual things, you have to dissect and put it in words. But actually it's all together. Because he said the Spirit of God dwells in you. Well, to be able to have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, the Spirit of Christ has to be in you, which is the Spirit of the new birth.
Right.
So if you are born again, you have the Spirit of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. That means you are spiritual.
That's right.
And you can walk in the Spirit 24/7.
Yeah.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You see, the thing about this is, you know, remember over there, I think it's in Proverbs chapter 3. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And you know what's going to happen? He says He's going to make our path straight. But you know, in the meantime, while we go through the paths, through the highways and byways, we begin to acknowledge other stuff. We acknowledge our lack, we acknowledge our pain, we acknowledge our distress, we acknowledge other stuff. And then the last thing, like in a, you know, one of those WWE wrestling match, you know, when you are playing tag team, when you're getting all beat up, back and forth, then you stand your hand and reach out to heaven, please Lord, and then He comes and touches you, and then He goes into the arena, sometimes too late. He can do much. You allow yourself to be and squeeze too much. But you see, when you are filled of the Holy Spirit, when you're filled of the Word of God, like it says in Colossians 3:16, to allow the Word of God to dwell richly in the inside of you. You know why we don't allow it to dwell richly? Because we do the same thing we do with food. We pick and choose what we want instead of just taking everything. And that is so important. You know why? Because when life comes to squeeze you from every side, and it will squeeze you, you know what's going to happen? Flesh is not going to come out. Christ in you is going to come out because you are full of Him. Can I hear an amen? So I learned this long time ago. To walk in the Spirit 24/7. To do what I do in the things of God. The Holy Spirit taught me that. And some people get shocked and surprised. That, oh, you manipulate in the Holy Spirit. No, I put my faith in the Holy Spirit. Without Him, I can do nothing.
True.
He is the vine. I'm the branch. Without Him, I cannot produce no fruit. Neither do you.
True.
Amen.
True.
Now, let's go back over here to the book of Galatians chapter 4. Now, look at this verse 1. He says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be laudable. But is under tutors and governors till the time appointed of the Father, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because you are sons, look at this. This is good. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father.
Yeah.
Wherefore, there are no more a servant, but a son.
Amen.
And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. That means that something was left to us. Because an heir, you know, is supposed to bear of something. Amen.
Yep.
Now, Let's go back to the book of Romans chapter 8. Praise be to God forevermore. Praise God. Now look at verse 15. He says, Paul, he said, through the Holy Spirit, for you have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. This is the part that nobody likes, the suffering part. You're going to be an heir, but you're going to suffer together with him. Everybody want to speak about the, you know, how good it's going to be. How if you send me, you know, $100 seed or $1,000 seed, you know how things are going to turn around for you. No, people, I got to tell you, no. I remember, you know, I love my pastor. He gave me a word about 5 years ago. He said, Victor, soon, he said all the things. You know, today is 4 years later and it's still soon because the word is still fresh in my heart. But we are so easy to discard what? Our inheritance through the wayside. And then we look like poor people being rich because we have not stored properly our inheritance. I have words, people that still have not come to pass. But you know what I call a word of God, a word, that personal word that the Lord gave us? I call it life expectancy. That means I have years ahead to look forward to. I'm 60 years old. And I have a lot to look forward. I see all the people with my own age and they're still in nursing home with breathers, you know, and walkers and all kinds of things. God forbid that I should have one of those. Amen. And I'm not, you know, I say this, let me see, humbly by the grace of God. You know something? Because I know my inheritance. The day that I forget my inheritance, that I'm going to be with the crowd. It is the truth. I am telling you the truth. It's easy to give you a little pacifier and send you out there and tell you that you're not going to suffer. You are going to suffer in that flesh because that flesh is going to rebel against the promises of God. It's going to rebel against the hope that you have in the inside of you. Did you know that you carry within the creator of heaven and earth, the one that moved upon the waters in the beginning? It's in the inside of you. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And sometimes we cry out to God and we say, God, I need this and I need this. And let me tell you, ain't no need to cry anywhere. We had to look within to the kingdom that was left in the inside of us. We cry out for power. We cry out for wisdom. People, baloney, wisdom is the inside of you. Power is in the inside of you. All the power you need, all the wisdom you need is in the inside of you. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians that Christ has become unto us, what? The power of God and the wisdom of God. You know, when the Lord sent me in a quest for to hear his voice, I was amazed that he sent me to look in the inside of me, not the outside. He can speak from the outside, but he has made his abode, his house in the inside of me and in the house of you. You can look in Hebrews chapter 3 that we have become the house of God. We don't live in the house of Moses. And that's one of the problems. I don't have time to address that. It is addressed here all the time. Some people are living in their own house expecting to inherit what they have in their new house. It's like living with your neighbor and expecting to have everything that is in your house. That's strange. That's weird. It's not going to happen. Being raised by the neighbor, by a servant. No, no. Moving in. Moving. It's better than living with the neighbor. Amen. But we are going to suffer in more ways than I can tell you this morning. Now, let's look at something. Let's go to the book of John chapter 16. Let's look at a few things here. Because, you know, if he left something for us, I'd like to know. Amen? Don't you?
Yeah.
I'd like to know. I'm tired of being blind, being misled. Wasting what I don't have to get something that is already mine. Look at 16. And this is the Lord speaking. I don't have red letters, but probably in your Bible have red letters. You know it's the Lord speaking to you. And he says, verse 12, John 16:12. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you. He said, but you cannot bear them now. You cannot receive them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. People, this is the Spirit that we have inherited. This is the part of me that makes me spiritual together with being born again. This is that in the inside. When he says in Romans, I will not leave you comfortless or orphans, this is the Father that he sent in the inside. This is the one that is like him. As a matter of fact, it is him. Holy Spirit in the inside of us. Verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Look at this, verse 15. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said that he shall take on mine and shall show unto you. Well, you know, that's good, but he's going to only show it to me. He's going to go window shopping. I don't like window shopping. If I like the stuff, I like to get it. Don't you? So not only he's going to show things to come, he's going to show us what belonged to us. And he says, everything that Jesus inherited as a man, as the Son of God, the Son of Man, he became an heir of that, everything. And we became joint heirs with him. That means that whatever he inherited from the Father, we inherited together from him. If it belongs to Jesus, it belongs to me also. Let me make a distinction here. He's God, we're not. Amen. Let me make that, because some people get strange, you know, they don't pay attention, they go in weird stuff. But if it belongs to Jesus, that means it belongs to me.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit, because you see, He has come to what? To teach us, to remind us what the Lord has said. Matter of fact, in the book of 1 John chapter 2, he says that he is the unction within that teaches us, which is true and cannot lie to us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You see, you heard this before, but you have not heard it with this accent and with this anointing. Amen. But it's the truth nonetheless.
Yeah.
So if Jesus inherited, it is our baby.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Yes. Glory be to God forevermore. Now, look at this. Let's go to the book of, praise God. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. I was so afraid the Holy Spirit will take this message away from me. Because I got several things. I don't carry a script, so I had to speak what he puts in my heart. If I don't remember it, too bad. You don't need it. Look at this. Verse 9, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the thing which God has prepared to them that love them. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. And you know, you learn this here, you know, they have capital S, should be little s. Because, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't search himself, it is our spirit.
Right.
There over there in the book of Proverbs 20:27, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly of the spirit. Amen. So I remember when I went, I'm seeking after God, the Holy Spirit pointed to the inside. So I went in a dive. Like I used to dive in the river, I dive in there searching the thing. And he began to reveal things.
Right.
Amen. He said, for what man knoweth the things of a man, said the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us. How glory be to God forevermore. The things that are freely given to us. Ain't that good? Amen. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That means if you're paying for something that is freely given to you, somebody's taking you for a ride. Somebody's cunning you. And not only that, you are not having fellowship with the Holy Spirit because He's not able to convey to you that you're paying for something that belongs to you. And that is dumb. Sorry to give it to you that way, but there's no easy way. Remember, this is part of the suffering. Amen.
Amen.
I ain't come to be funny. I come to be truthful. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Glory be to God forevermore. Now, The Holy Spirit says He's going to show the things that are freely given to us. Now, this gets even better to put this nail even harder in the place, you know. Now, what it says in the book of Romans 8:32? It says this, He that spared not His only Son. He that spared not His only Son. How shall He with Him also not give up freely all things? I mean, you know, when you can't spare something, why give the best? Amen. When people go there by the curbside and they ask you for money, you don't take out the 50 and the 100. You go for some spare change. Don't you? Don't you? You don't open your checkbook and start handling it. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Mm-hmm. Only a few truthful people. Okay, that's fine. Glory be to God. Forevermore. Now, let's look at something. Let's look over here in the book of Galatians again, something. Now look in chapter, let me see, what is this? 3 and verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? He said, God forbid. For if there had been a law given who could have given life, very righteousness should have been by the law. So what he's saying here, if God could have given some sort of commandment so that He could spare His Son to give us spiritual life, don't you think that He's wise enough to have given up a commandment? The commandment is good, it's holy. But we were not spiritual, the law is spiritual. That was the little problem that needed to be adjusted. And the Lord has to kill the whole thing in Christ so that He can give us a nature, amen, that could receive what He has freely given to us. Amen. Now, let's go someplace. Let's go to the book of Psalms 49. And let's look at another scripture. I like this scripture so much because it is so truth, like everything. But look at this. Psalms 49. And look what it says here in verse 7, 6. He said, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, he says, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. That means pay. Give something in exchange. Nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceases forever. And the Amplified, it says, for the ransom of a life is too costly. And the price one can pay can never suffice. Ain't that something? That means that us that were in need of redemption, of being, you know, awakened into spiritual life, none of us, with all the offerings, with all the stuff, with all the animals that were killed and all the stuff, and you can put together all the diamonds and all the galaxies, all the universe and all the things that are millions and trillions and trillions, and not a single, you know, the whole thing packed together, all creation, can amount to anything that God would even consider to, for the exchange of the spiritual death for a spiritual life of one soul. It's too costly. And if something's worth what somebody's willing to pay for them, that means, honey, that you are too precious for the Lord to be paying some garbage for it. Because nobody in the whole world is garbage. Human being. My price tag, and your price tag, Jesus. We need to get this clear. It's Jesus. And everything He purchased for us is free. And there are many other things I can say about this. Then why am I going to be so dumb? Talking about Puerto Ricans now. I'm going to be so dumb. I'm going to allow somebody manipulate my feelings. Sending a little prayer request to go over there to Mount Sinai to pray for me. When I have, you know where the mountain of God is where I can worship? It's right here, baby, wherever you are. Wherever you are. Of course, He has appointed a place for us to be. You know why? Because there is a blessing that goes from yesterday to today and forever They commanded the blessing. When we come together, why? Because we're the body of Christ. People buy some holy water. Open the faucet. Take a little glass. Pray for it. Bless. You make it holy. I was watching the other day. This guy, he really liked him. He began to speak some awesome revelation. I said, here, I'm going to. And at the very end, he said, you send me $100 seed.
Yeah.
People, you cannot give anything to anybody to get anything that is free.
That's right. Amen.
Ministries need money. All ministries need money. Amen. Mm-hmm. To function. These lights, to be open, they need money. And how can somebody use as a leverage something that is spiritual? Your healing is part of your inheritance. And it's free. Healing is free. It's part of the children's bread. You know why healing don't work in many of us? Because there's too much of us in the way. Flesh still life. Amen. I wasn't going to touch this, but I touched it last time. I'm going to touch it again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when the Lord, Paul speaking, says, you know, what I received of the Lord, this what I should give unto you, that the night that he would betray, he took bread and broke it, you know. Actually, it was not broken, it was given, amen. The Lord's body was not broken, was given on our behalf. He said, do this in remembrance of me. So the same night, he raised the cup. This is saying, this is in give thanks. He said, this is the cup of blessing of the New Testament in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For often as you do this, show forth the Lord's death till he comes. And I said, the Lord, well, why should I proclaim your death? What we believe as a people, what makes it different is this. Muhammad still in the grave. Buddha, Siddhartha still in the grave. And all the so-called prophets, all of them still in the grave. But our Savior is alive.
Amen.
That is what makes a big difference. That, you know, but to remember, but yet he says that whenever we do this, that we take the bread and we take the cup of blessing, he says we do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And I ask the Lord, why? Why not your life, your resurrection? You know why he said to me, Victor? Because it is your death also.
That's right.
When I consider my death together with him, then I can walk with the body, I can walk with society. And when I embrace that blood, I embrace his life that can transform me and change me. I can walk with anybody. Why? Because I'm dead.
Right.
Dead people cannot be hurt, cannot get sick. Dead people can get over the circumstances. Glory be to God forevermore. And the very minute, the very second that you begin to change and begin to think like heaven thinks, you're going to begin to walk like heaven walks. Death no longer has dominion over you. Whatever you need no longer has dominion over you. What? It was freely given to you. Let me tell you something. When Abraham, that commandment that was given over there, you know that if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to do and every all that, then it shall bless you, shall follow you and overtake you. And when there in 2 Peter chapter 2 speaks also about Balak and Balaam tried to curse the people of God, and what the prophet said, I cannot curse what the Lord has blessed. Did you know that you are blessed?
Amen.
And no one can change that except you. Because you and I have an inheritance, that is our blessing. When you read over there in Acts, at the end of chapter, let me look it up because I don't want to misquote it. How your blessing began. Glory to God forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Now, praise God. Thank you, Father. Where did I say to go? I don't remember. Praise God. Be merciful to me, Lord. Now, the book of Acts, I should say, 3:26 says, unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus. And remember, when he raised up his son Jesus, what happened to us? We were co-raised together with him. Amen? Send him to what? To bless you. in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. You know what he did? Over there in the book of, Hebrews chapter 8, he says that he would make a new covenant. And in that, so that new covenant, he would remember our sins no more and our iniquities. Why? Because, you know, he was going to be the ransom. Single payment for everything that separated us from God. Amen? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. So by transforming, by changing us in him, he put us in a place that we qualify for everything that he inherited for him and for us in our behalf. Oh, glory be to God forevermore. So if it's his, it is ours.
Yes.
How about peace of mind? You know, the ultimate, there's two things. The ultimate inheritance is to understand this. That if I couldn't save myself, and if it was by grace through faith, you know what is going to kid me? Grace through faith, baby. Mm-hmm. And when you read over there in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, it speaks about a rest being left to us. And you know what that rest is? If we cannot save ourselves, let us rest in what he did. Amen. If I cannot heal myself and I was healing him, if I cannot get my peace, he is my peace. Everything is him.
Yes.
So let me rest. Why do I labor for those and pay for things that do not profit, don't take me anywhere? Mm-hmm. But you know, there's a saying, I'm sure it says here also, that the fruit don't fall far from the tree. Amen. And if we are the branches and he is the vine, according to John chapter 15, is that life is going through us, this is what happened to us. I'm going to close now. In the book of Galatians, praise be to God, chapter 5. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Am I still speaking English? Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Now, verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk the Spirit. That means that these things, that yes, the Holy Spirit has those things, but people, that's part of our makeup. That's our spiritual makeup.
Yeah.
And this is like, this here is like when it speaks over there in Deuteronomy 28. You know, there's a little video of blessings and then a whole long chapter of verses of curses.
Right.
Read before about the works of the flesh. Mm-hmm. It seems somehow the Lord had to spell it to us because we don't get it.
Yeah.
When we're in the flesh.
Yeah.
We don't get it. He had to make all these lists, you know. That's the flesh.
Right.
And if you're doing the things, flesh still much alive. You're not still completely dead.
True.
You need to mortify. You need to kill that person that used to be you, because you're not that person.
Right. That's good.
And then all the things will fall close to the tree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not done. I'm not dumb, stupid. I'm not saying you are, but we need to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Love them. Don't speak against them. Pray for them. Because, you know, I went to a website, and this man has a ministry of criticizing every little fault of these people. Eh? You know, they say that because of them, the way of the Lord is evil spoken.
Right.
They speak against Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're money grabbers. Why they have a problem with us having money and they can have all they want? Because we're missing the spiritual component of who we are in Christ. We don't need that garbage. God will give you as much as you need for your journey. No more, no less. But you need to know where your journey begins. Because you're going to be lacking. And in the process, they're going to be robbers and thieves. They're going to come and steal and do all kinds of things in the way. You want to give? Give here. This is your house. Let give so that there be abundance in the storehouse. So that when you have need, you can come to the storehouse and we can supply your need. But right now we cannot do it because you're giving to the one that is bending and twisting your heart and your emotions so that you can have your answer. Your answer is within your heart. The answer is within. Your healing is in the inside of you. Your hope is in the inside of you. We can only motivate you to draw it out. Cause faith to be stirred up in you to draw it out. But you have to draw it from within. The Lord says, you know, the Lord says, I'm going to close with this. There's much to say about this. You can never stop. In the book of Matthew 6, he said, be anxious for nothing. And that is the part that we need to rest, people. We don't know how to rest. If we're not laboring for something, we don't rest. For what you're going to eat, what you're going to dress, what you're going to live. Why? Because the world, that's what the world does. And you know what we're doing? The same thing like the world. Yeah. There's no difference between us and them, seems like. We need to learn to rest. And you know why he said? You need to begin to seek out what is within you, what has been invested in you. You know what was invested in us? The best that heaven has. God himself. Surprise, surprise. God himself. When are we going to get to the point that God lives in the inside of us? You know, I'm not saying that I say it just like Paul. Not that I'm all there yet, but you know something? I know where the bullseye is. You know the bullseye? You shoot there. Amen. And it's right here. In the inside of me. Yep. It's in the inside of you. So whatever it is, it's been given free. It's been deposited so you can draw it out. Yep. Am I doing okay, Pastor? It is the truth. I don't allow nobody to bend my emotions. Because, you know, it is the truth. There's so many needs. God calls us to something, but we see all the needs. But we cannot supply all the needs. We can supply what is before us. What the Lord calls us to do. Amen. And then somebody else had to do with those children, whoever it is. You know, I don't know. I have compassion for them. I cry just like you. I ache. And I wish I could be, you know, have all the money. But, you know, money is not always the answer. Sometimes the lack of it is what makes you spiritual. Yeah, or I should say, not make you. It causes you to be aware that you need to be spiritual.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Amen. Right. Let me stop right here. I got 1 minute. I'm done. Amen. And when you know, the Lord says, He loved the cheerful giver. Give what you can cheerfully give. Your time, whatever it is. And you know, with this, I'm going to close with this. I got the same habit on my pastor. Anyway. When I was born again, being Catholic, nobody had to tell me to give or to help. My nature. Something in me. I used to send money to the 700 Club because I didn't have a church. But when I got a church, I gave to the church. And when I began involved with Barry's work, I started working with the 3-year-olds. With the men's department. With prayer. With everything I could put in my hand. And now people saying, Victor, you're involving too much. I never said anything, but in the back of my mind, you know what I said? Well, if you would do some of the things. And I wouldn't look as bad as I look before your eyes. You know why? Because every joint supply. And we say, but we don't do it. And we miss the blessing. Because the greatest blessing is to be a child of God. To know that that we are His sons and daughters. You know, I remember the day that I came home one day. So, you know, like many of us beat up by the world, sit down. And the Holy Spirit could have said a lot of things to me. Quote this scripture. By His stripes, you know, I rebuke you devil. But the Holy Spirit said to me, tell the devil, God is your father. I stood up. I said, let me tell you something, devil. God is my daddy.
Yeah.
He made my flesh just to die. Boom. And you know, my spirit arose within me.
God.
Alive.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Holy Spirit gave me spiritual food for a spiritual person. Holy Spirit not gave me fleshly thing for spiritual people. It is the spiritual things. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Stand up, please. We love Christ. And I'm not talking that I have arrived, but you know, I'm just like, I had to fight my flesh just like you. I had to put it where it belongs, crucified together with Christ, so that I can be useful. You know, I struggle. For me, every time I come to preach, it's like the first time I'm going to preach. I don't know why is that, but it's with me. It seems like I have to die. I suffer. I go, but then I come to, it always come to this place that if he doesn't do it through me, it doesn't need to be done at all. If I'm here. But I do trust the deposit that is in me. I trust the work of the Holy Spirit with my spirit. I give him something to work with. And if you're given something to work with, trust me, he's a good potter. He'll begin to shape that clay of your heart and put it where it belongs. He'll put your affection where they belong. And you will not be wasting time going around the mountain for 40 years, wasting time. Amen. That's what we want. You don't have time to waste. The times are getting short. You need to go straight to your promised land. And your promised land is not far from you. It is within you. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
Father, I thank you for this morning. And thank you, Father God, that you're open our eyes. We were supposed to have eyes open a long time ago. But it's never too late with you. You're so good that you say you can even redeem our time. Little time we gave you, you can give us more time so that we be to you a name and a praise. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore.
Thank you,
is anybody here that needs, you know, that have not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, want to become an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ? Please, you're welcome. You don't want to live another day without Him, without Jesus. If you're here this morning and you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, today is the day of salvation. You don't know if you have another day. I don't like scare tactics, but I found out that it's so true. Working with the police, working in a hospital, I know that it's so true. I see young people, all kinds of people dead, you know, almost every time. You don't know what's going to happen. The same thing. If you're here today and you're backsliding, you need to come back to the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Anybody? Come. Nobody's going to, you know, embarrass you or anything like that. Jesus covers, cleanses, and purifies. That's the way He is. He'll make no excuses for you, but He'll take care of you. Nobody. Okay. Hallelujah. I just have a couple of words to say, and I'm going to close. Because I was coming here. There's somebody that got in a trouble for $20. Somebody. With some member of your family. And you had not paid the $20. But it's bugging you. You don't want me to tell you, rest. And the next $20 you receive, put some more with interest and give it back. Give it back. And get that debt out of the way, because it's just haunting you. It's just dumb. Glory be to God. Come over here, the two of you. Come. Yeah, I told the pastor one day that, you know, and I had a dream. And I bore a meeting. And I tried jokingly to say something to pastor, and that night the Lord gave me a dream. And I'm in this line, and I have only one hair in my tongue. And it was this thick and very long. And I caught it, and he had a little thing. So the next day I went and confessed, gave myself up to my pastor. I have a lot of hair, but one that was bothering him. Amen. Thank you, Lord, Father God. I don't have more time to do anything else. But you know, I always said in the meetings that I go, the most important word of prophecy is the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Movie, popcorn. You can watch the movie, no popcorn. Amen. Pastor, thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. You may be seated for just a minute. I want to give you the opportunity.